Okay, so Cosmos Book. Concept strategy here first, I guess, but maybe something would be for transcribing. Check out later. So we established this. First of all, I shouldn't just, and I felt that was a little bit over the top or whatever, just disregard or even deny the presence of astronomy in the Bhagavatam. But just emphasize that Bhagavatam is mainly about cosmology, and that's the entire Bhagavatam. And there's just a little astronomy in the fifth canto. That is really there, completely in line with the rest of the Bhagavatam, namely to describe how this world that we are in, that we call the physical world, relates to Krishna. Now, one important thing here is that the descriptions of planets and stars and so on and moving around and their movements is given from the most natural and obvious perspective. There can be how people in India saw it with their eyes. Thus we find that the movements of the sun, for instance, are described in terms of the the movement or the orbit of the sun up in the sky during a day from east to south to west, and that through a year along the ecliptic. The movements of the moon are described as it goes on along the nakshatras, through the nakshatras. And so on. And this we should establish with clear quotes from the Bhagavatam. Now the Puranic age and the ancient world in general looked at the world a bit differently from what we may do today. And that has to be taken into account. Thus, when we see images of the world that to us seem geocentric, meaning that the people of that time thought that the earth was actually in the middle of the universe and all the other planets, including the stars, rotate around the Earth. That may or may not have been so. In fact, people of that age didn't have any reason, nor do we find any indications or evidence of that to bother about speculating about bodies, heavenly bodies, as imagined being seen from, or being seen from an imagined point of view. Far out in space. Such speculations probably didn't serve their purposes, because at that age the inner world, quote-unquote, was as much and probably more important than the external world seen through the senses. Therefore, their cosmology, their descriptions of the world, was communicated through stories and images illustrating those stories, allegorical stories, and indeed we find in the Bhagavatam and all over the world that one such place to tell stories was in the sky. The Bhagavatam and here we can throw in lots of references if needed. Describe many sages and divine beings who do have names as star constellations and so on. For instance, the daughters of Daksha, Dhruvaloka and the Shishumar, and so on. Seven sages, we take some of those names, and they are up there. And of course, still today, we can all look up in the night sky and see imaginary characters up there. Each one partaking in a story, the stories traditionally told within the culture you live in. So again, if someone is disappointed, that it could be so simple and seemingly mythological, we should remember that, and in fact reprimand ourselves, unless we can understand and remember that, that the knowledge conveyed through what we call myth, in other words, stories and images, was presented that way for the very obvious and natural reason that it described things, it and parts of the world that were outside of what our physical senses can perceive and fathom. So what do? Then you use metaphors. Even the atom is, in a sense, a metaphor. At least the little colored balls that we saw in physics classes in school. Giving us an idea or a picture that our minds can grab onto while also introducing gradually the more abstract and quote-unquote metaphysical understanding of what an atom is. Given this fact that it makes perfect sense why we're all over the world told stories up in the sky. Now, whether that cosmic clockwork up there as the astrologers tell us, is connected to the events going on here, controlling our destinies, or somehow being connected to our destinies, maybe we should say, is another thing. If, as our quantum physicists, who we should not and could not dismiss that easily, said that this cosmos seems more like a big mind than a big machine, well, then that is also not improbable. In fact, we probably all have experiences of what Carl Jung calls synchronicity. Where there seems to be some kind of higher synchronization between our little microcosmic world and the greater macrocosmic world. But that is another thing that we could spend a book diving into. For now, by seeing the ancient cosmology in general and the Puranic cosmology in particular in this light, it should start to make much more sense. And the models we see, the drawings showing the world or the cosmos, although that word was probably not invented, came later, I can check that out. Why they all seem spherical and concentric with a middle axis that everything rotates around. The answer is simple, because this is how they drew their world. That is the perspective they chose.